Thank you so much, April, and thank you, band, for kicking off our Valentine's Day with two Motown classics. As I'm sure you're aware, it's Black History Month, and we honestly couldn't let that pass by without a little tribute to the enormous contributions that Black men and women have made to not only musical history, but to also to pop culture in general in our country. And we wanted to take a second today to recognize that. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, as the one-year mark of COVID-19 slowly starts to creep up on our calendar, you know, 1 year since we all learned what social distancing was and we started that constant mental calculation of exposure and quarantine, 1 year of digital learning that in my house has felt way more like 5 years, as all of that is creeping up on us, I'm starting to feel something that honestly I haven't felt in a really long time when it comes to this situation. Hope. As I see my friends in the medical community start to get vaccines and it feels like there might finally be an end in sight, I feel hope coming back. You see, when it comes to COVID-19, in the beginning, I had so many instances of false hope. I think a lot of us thought it would all be over in just a couple of weeks, and I had a lot of hope in that. Then the timeline moved to a couple of months. Eventually, it was by summer, and then finally, it was by the fall. And as I experienced so much false hope, it became difficult to hope at all. And it's not just in the pandemic that we do that. Our lives are littered with false hopes. We put our hope in a person or in a relationship that we think will finally be the answer to our self-doubt and to that lack of self-esteem. But then they let us down, and they leave us hurt. We put our hope in a new year. We think that 2021 will finally be the year that things will be different. But in so many ways, it's not different at all. We put our hope in political figures and in people that we think are going to change our circumstances. Even the hope we put in a vaccine and this idea of everything, you know, going back to normal or like the good old days, it's really a false hope if you stop and think about it. Those things can all let us down. And when they do, that's when we start to feel hopeless. And I think if you're a Jesus follower, that feeling of hopelessness, it can start to make you ask even bigger questions. You might start to think, if something doesn't make sense, I need to believe more. If something isn't going the right way, I should trust more. You know, if I feel hopeless, I just need to have a little bit more faith. I mean, after all, we have all read the book of Romans in the New Testament where Paul says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. We've all read it, right? And I certainly love him. I most definitely feel called according to his purpose. So if it's not going well, if the world around me is making me feel hopeless, That just means I need to believe more, right? I need to trust more. I need to have a little more faith. Here's the problem. After the year we've had, maybe if you're like me and maybe that just hasn't worked so well for you this time, I've tried to believe more. And I don't think my problem is a lack of belief right now. I have honestly trusted more than I ever have. And I can tell you, I don't think I have a lack of trust. I have placed my faith in God like I have never before during this season. And yet the struggles, the disappointments, the frustrations, the bad days and the difficult moments, they're not going away. In fact, I would say they feel more like constant companions right now than they ever have before. They feel like things that might stay with me forever, or maybe the reality is they've actually been with me all along. I'm not even sure anymore, which, if I'm being honest, can really make me question the idea that we can even find hope, especially when so much of the world seems to be void of it, and all the things that we place in it seem to keep letting me down. In some ways, I feel like I'm living each day waiting on something to happen, but I'm not even quite sure what it is. I'm waiting for my circumstances to change so that they'll make me feel hopeful again. I'm waiting for something out there to get better so that something in here will feel better. We are certainly not the first to know the struggle or to feel the weight of unmet expectations and false hopes while we're waiting on the world to change. So today, I want to take you all the way back in time to a time that is about 30 years after Jesus was executed on a Roman cross, to a world that looked very different than ours, but struggled with many of the same things that we still struggle with today. The year was probably around 63, maybe 64 AD. And by most accounts, you didn't have to look long, and you certainly didn't have to look hard to realize that things were not exactly going well, especially for those who had decided to follow Jesus. Sure, Jesus had been crucified, and the rumors and the stories from the disciples had spread quickly that he had also risen from the grave. A new and a better world was just around the corner. Peter and John and the other disciples had become legends. They launched the early church, and it began with such promise. The greatest persecutor of the church, a guy named Saul of Tarsus, had suddenly and unexpectedly become a follower of Jesus, and he had renamed himself Paul. He set out with another disciple named Mark to start churches all over the Middle East. And with all of that came hope. Hope for a new and a better world. Hope for things to finally be different. Hope that the oppressive systems of the world would finally be overturned and all people would be treated as equals in the sight of God. I told you, it sounds a lot like our world, doesn't it? But now, by the time our story's gonna pick up, years have passed. The movement was up and running, but the momentum just seemed to kind of be stalled. Hope seemed to be fading. Paul was locked in a prison in Rome and would be dead inside of a year. Mark was on his way back to Rome to comfort Paul. The disciples were now scattered all over the Middle East. And Peter, well, Peter was probably there in Rome as well. Only instead of his legend growing like it once had, he was now writing in secret, hiding out somewhere from those who wanted to end this new movement. He was writing to people who needed to know that hope was not lost and that all was not forgotten. He wrote to Christians who had been scattered all across modern-day Turkey. He wrote to people who were trying to figure out how to live for God in the midst of a society without any concept of who God was. And because they were Christians and their faith made it difficult for them to simply blend into the norms and customs of their culture, they were subjected to cruel treatment and vicious rumors. But Peter, in hiding, wanted to remind them that even though things looked dark and even though their struggles were very real, they could still have hope. And not just any hope, and not just this abstract hope in the one day out there that things will change, but instead that they could have hope for today. Listen to how Peter describes this hope that is possible for them and for us. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." Did you catch that? Because I think it's just as true today as it was back in 63 AD. Peter is saying that even though things don't look so good right now, and trust me, they looked far worse for them than they do for us, he's saying you and I can still have hope. He's saying that nothing is hopeless. And not just some abstract Christian version of hope that's wrapped up in the afterlife that we get to enjoy, you know, kind of one day. According to Peter, we can have a living hope that is real and that is for today. You see, Peter's reminder is that our hope is not placed in ourselves or even in our circumstances or even in the people around us. He says those aren't stable enough. They change all the time. They are what we call false hopes. Our hope is not even in what we are waiting for or hoping to be true, no matter how good or how ideal the things we're waiting for might actually be. Instead, our hope is only rightly directed and only rightly placed when it is exclusively in the person and in the promises of God. Our hope is not in our circumstances, which means our hope is not even in our circumstances getting better. But our hope is in the one who controls our circumstances, whatever those circumstances might be. Peter's point and his reminder to them and ultimately to us was simply this: no matter what is happening to you or no matter what is happening around you, you can still have hope because it is God who ultimately, through the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus, who has given you a living hope that is not impacted by the circumstances around you. It is not changed by the people around you. And when we look at the example that is set for us in the New Testament, we see that hope isn't wishful thinking. Hope is certainly not blind optimism, and it is definitely not the power of positive thinking. Hope is confidence in something good based in someone good. I want you to hear that. So I'm gonna say that one more time. Hope is confidence in something good that is based in someone good. Hope is the joyful and confident expectation, not in something vague or not in something mystical, but in someone who is specific and someone who is certain. So for those of you that feel hopeless, which is probably a lot of us, I want to invite you to start walking back towards hope. For others of you, I want to invite you to start examining where you might be hoping in something that will ultimately let you down. And for all of us, I want us to be able to see what cannot yet be seen because of the one who sees us. Because hope is not crossing our fingers. Hope is expecting great things because we are loved by someone great. And I want to invite you to hope because our hope is well placed. It is placed in someone who overcame death, and he is a living hope who has stored up life for you that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And his name? Well, his name is Jesus.
Life more abundant and free. So just look up.